Creator Corner, we wanted to take a step back from some of the specifics of writing and talk about the basics of why and how humans tell stories. So I'll be covering a little bit more of the why, and then Farah will cover a little bit more of the how, even though we both overlap with each other. I'm sure it doesn't come as a surprise to anyone that humans are story-based creatures. Stories are how we learn who we are and who we belong to and why we exist. We pass wisdom to the next generation through stories, and we build belief systems around stories. Now, when I say stories, we don't necessarily mean fiction or myth. How we communicate truth and facts are also through stories. And you probably know this better if you think back to when you were potentially in school and you understood the history of your country better when it was a story about it rather than a list of dates. This is the same principle. For as long as there have been humans, there have been stories. That's as simple as it gets. For many, many millennia, we were basically oral storytellers. Even if someone in the tribe was literate at some point along the way, the majority weren't. And so storytellers were incredibly valued. Religious officials, as religions became codified and structured, served the same purpose. And Farah will get into the technological developments more in a minute that moved us from oral to writing. But my role in this podcast is to be meta and kind of schmoopy and sociological, so allow me to do that. History isn't static. It's not something that happened once and then never happens again. History is shaped and reshaped every time a piece of it is retold in a story. You can tell a lot about a culture by the myths they embrace and how they tell and retell their history. And you can tell a lot about the fragments of a culture in the same way. For example, outside of fandom, let me just take a bigger example for a minute. Part of my expertise is the academic study of Christianity. There is one set text as canonical Christian scriptures. We understand kind of this book. Even within that, there's debate over what book should be included and the Catholic Apocrypha and blah, 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 blah. So even within that, we have how stories exist, tell a lot about people. But anyway, how someone views those scriptures and talks about them and tells stories about them can tell you a whole lot about what they believe. Do they say that the full canon came straight from God's mouth and directly onto paper? Do they talk about the Council of Nicaea who picked the 66 books and rejected others? Do they talk about cultural evolution or do they talk about inerrancy? Each community of faith tells their own story about these scriptures, and that helps shape and form their values, behaviors, words, and actions of that particular community. In fandom, we have a similar phenomena. How we talk about Civil War, for example, communicates a whole lot about what we feel about these characters. How you talk about your ship, or how we talk about the tropes in each ship that we perpetuate as fanon. These are the stories that we surround ourselves with, and the stories that we as fandom use to communicate our values. So what are the values of Marvel fandom? Well, in my 1 year that I've been around it, I'd posit that we value teamwork, even against impossible odds, and the idea of misfits making family. We value right, even when it's messy, and recovery from trauma, even when it's hard. So now that we've covered a little bit of what storytelling does, what it means, how it communicates, creates, affirms values, I'm going to turn it over to Farah to explain how.
So I have in the past and will continue to put on my grammar mustelid hat and talk about things like commas, apostrophes, and spelling. But before we get into that in detail, I wanted to talk about the concept of writing, about writing systems, and what it means to write stuff down. First of all, it's really important to engage with the difference between writing and language. Language is an inherent part of our humanness. It's built into our brains. Babies are born as language sponges. It's not something we need to actively learn or study. It's something we absorb. And you might be saying, but Farah, I'm trying to study a second language and it's awful. And I will tell you that there's something called neural plasticity. It declines as you get older. And one of the first things you lose is language plasticity. That usually happens around age 12. So if you're trying to learn a language now and you're older than 12, which I would hope you would be if you're listening to this, then yes, it could be hard. But when you were three, you picked all this up extremely easily. So we have had language far longer than we've had school. In fact, we believe that human language is well over 100,000 years old. It is built into us as using tools or cooking food. We have entire areas of our brain expressly devoted to processing language. And the difference between language and communication is one of the primary things that makes us human. And when humans are put into situations where they don't share a language, they invent new ones, and fast. A pidgin is a grammatically simplified language that develops when two language groups collide and need to find a way to communicate. In as little as one more generation, that pidgin that lacks grammatical structure can turn into a Creole, which has grammatical structure. And that's not through any actual effort on the speaker's parts. It's not because that's been decided by a council or taught in school. It's just the way our brains work. The second generation takes the sketched out framework and fills in the details, naturally. We fill in the building blocks, we make rules, we define the boundaries of syntax. Additionally, languages are always changing, dramatically, constantly, fluidly, and endlessly. Every language contains dialects, which are versions of that language spoken by subgroups of people, and those subgroups get smaller and smaller, all the way down to idiolects, which are the exact ways that individual people talk. And all of this is constantly in motion. I sure as shit didn't have yeet in my vocabulary 10 years ago, but you better fucking believe it is now. Words die off, they change meaning, expanding, contracting, or hopping entirely. They are born and reborn, and the structural rules change too. This is why it might be hard for you to read Shakespeare or Austen or even Conan Doyle. English has changed a lot, even in the past 10 years. You don't talk like your parents. So why is this important for telling stories? Well, it brings us back to writing. And a critical factor to understand here is that writing is not language. Writing is not inherent. Writing is not something that we evolved to do. It's not built into our brains. And there are many, many cultures of humans who have rich, complex spoken languages and no writing system whatsoever. Crucially, writing is technology and language is not. There's some debate about exactly when and where writing was invented for the first time, but it's largely settled upon that writing was invented only four times. Once in Egypt, once in China, once in Mesopotamia, and once in Mesoamerica. The Mesoamerican script died out and didn't spread, so we can't read it and we don't really know much about it. There's some debate if the Mesopotamian and the Egyptian inventions influenced one another, but there's pretty clear consensus that China must have invented writing on their own as well. So I said human language was over 100,000 years old. Writing is only about 5,000 years old. So we were talking to each other, developing languages, splitting into language groups, and telling stories for well over 90,000 years before we started writing it down. There was proto-writing, like noting down amounts of things, numbers, and using pictures to tell simple stories, but a true writing system didn't come into play until then. The writing system we English speakers use now, the Roman alphabet, came from those first Egyptian writers, went through many, many, many changes, and became what we use today. And there are tons of writing systems that branched off of those first three inventions in many different and amazing ways, which is why we have so many more than three writing systems now, but also why you can so easily trace their origins back to one of those three. So why does this matter for writing fanfic? Well, for a few reasons. The first and probably most important is to recognize that literacy is not inherent, it's learned. It must be taught, it cannot be absorbed. It's a privilege and part of education, whereas language is part of the near universal human experience. Learning to write and read is hard work. It can only be learned by rote memorization. If you take a three-year-old child from Switzerland and put them in China, they'll pick up Chinese as a native tongue. But no matter how many books you hand a kid, they're never going to pick up writing on their own. Language can be learned through immersion, writing cannot. It's as much technology as roads and smartphones are. It's something we as people invented as a tool to make communicating easier, just like we invented phones and ballpoint pens. I should add a small disclaimer here that the innateness of language hypothesis is a much broader conversation than I've been able to fit into the context and time restraints of the podcast, but it's really interesting. And if this grabs you, you should definitely do more research. And if it's something you want to know more about, you can hit me up in the Discord chat as well. mostly the point of this conversation is to show the difference between how inherent language is and how inherent writing is. But the specifics of that, how inherent it is, what constitutes learning, is a broad, challenging, interesting, fascinating, many, many, many years old conversation that if that sounds like something that interests you, you should definitely dive into. But moving on. The other crucial aspect of this knowledge for you is that writing, unlike language, rarely evolves. Unless a group actively decides to participate in spelling reform, and there are a few countries who do, but it's not common, the spelling of words does not change at the rate with which our pronunciation changes. If you find English spelling insane, it's because English has gone through some massive changes in pronunciation, and we've borrowed so many words from other languages that share our writing system, and therefore we've stolen the writing too, that it's a total mishmash. Likely the biggest changes in writing that we've seen in hundreds of years have been caused by the internet, which is fascinating, and I almost did a thesis on lolcat speak, but that's a topic for another day. But adding on to that, punctuation is a tool as well. Again, it's invented, not inherent, and the goal of punctuation is to add extra information to make the meaning behind what is being written even clearer. The Greeks actually invented punctuation to make reading unfamiliar texts out loud easier, and even that was a bit of a fight to establish. They didn't even used to be spaces between words. You had to learn texts carefully before you tried to perform them. So they thought, hey, let's add some dots at least to split things up. But then when the Romans swanned in, they did away with that. It was a skill to be able to read a piece, study it, understand it, and then read it out loud. Cicero was quoted saying that the end of a sentence ought to be determined not by the speaker's pausing for breath or by a stroke interposed by a copyist, but by the constraint of the rhythm. So that's not that long ago that they were arguing whether to put spaces between words, whether to mark the end of a sentence at all. And then, ta-da, it was Christianity that brought punctuation back, and it's pretty much stuck around in our writing since then. So fundamentally, when we talk about writing language down, spelling and punctuation primarily, know that this is new technology in the grand scheme of things, and it's stationary and stagnant, lolcat speak and emojis notwithstanding, in a way that language is not. It's an incomplete attempt to communicate our spoken language. And when we write stuff down, we're just doing the best we can. So think about the way you write as using a tool, especially when it comes to punctuation. We have rules and structures because these are totally arbitrary marks that are not actually connected to a meaning, that we have assigned meaning to communicate with. Learning spelling and punctuation not only helps you get your ideas across with the fewest barriers possible, but it also gives you the power to abuse those rules in creative ways to expand your artistic power. But also be forgiving with yourself. Literacy, as I said, is a learned skill, and it's very arbitrary and it's very challenging. It's also something where you're not at all supported by any inherent language abilities. We're built to find grammar and structure in language. Most rules of your spoken native languages about, say, dependent clauses or how you can use adverbs are learned by absorption, not by practice. But everything about writing is by rote. I wanted to start talking about SPAG, which stands for spelling, punctuation, and grammar, on this pod by establishing this stuff first and giving everyone some context for understanding the tools they're using to tell their stories. As we move on and I put my grammar must-lit hat on more to dive into specifics like semicolons and Latin roots, you can have this knowledge in your back pocket at all times to give you context and also so you can give yourself a bit of mercy when these things are hard.
Learning and writing and reading, those are deep, deep privileges, like Ferret mentioned earlier. I have the privilege within my offline work to travel to a lot of parts of the world where reading and writing is not a cultural priority and is generally out of reach for a lot of people within that community. And it is a great reminder to me to never, ever take written words for granted. And as so many of you in this beautiful fandom write and read in multiple languages, which just blows my damn mind, remember to give yourself the grace that Ferret encouraged you to do. We have things like beta readers and a community where we learn to write together in order so that the stories, these ways that you construct meaning, the way that we all construct meaning, can be communicated clearly. But it's a fallible system, and we all kind of make it work together. If you want to talk about this more, please make sure to join us on the Discord server, where either we're Ferret, the Grammar Mustelid, would love to have more conversations with you about technology, and I, Professor Flame of Schmoopy Sociology, would love to talk to you more about what stories mean.